Well, good morning, everyone. Today we're going to be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Book of Matthew, chapter 16. We're going to start with verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I'll tell you, you are Peter, and not on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May our truth become our heart's pursuit and our life.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. Well, if you do have that passage of scripture open, just go ahead and leave that open. And thank you, Naeem. I appreciate all your work. I just want to just share with you guys. Naeem is one of those guys that just whatever he wants to play, he can play. And I just appreciate his talent and his ability to just lead and worship and do the things so much. So thank you, Naeem. Can we give him a hand? I'm telling you, Naeem doesn't feel very good today, but I know he made the effort to be here. Thank you, buddy. Now, I want to just say very quickly, we didn't forget to release the teens or the kids. I'm going to speak, but I'm going to speak in a short way. And then we're going to be doing the baptisms. The baptisms today are 100% the main attraction, okay? But I do want to just share a few things about what the church is and wanting to make sure that you understand what the church is and what it's not and why it matters. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the church because that's still a part of the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And so we'll hit these things. And then we're going to turn our attention back to the baptisms. And we're talking today especially about how the church family grows. And ultimately, what we want in the church is not for us to go out and find another church, their member, and say, now start coming to our church. Because how many of y'all know that that's not actually growing the family? It might be growing our local church, but it's not actually growing the family of God. Now, here's what I would say. For us, ultimately, what we want to do is we want to see exactly what is happening today happening here in this church. And that is that people are going back and saying, okay, well, I'm going to commit more and more and more of my life to Christ. You know, not only am I a person who wants to give my heart to the Lord for the very first time, but I'm also one who wants to maybe look back and say, you know, I wasn't following as closely as I wanted to, and so I want to be even more dedicated than ever before. And so as we baptize today, that's exactly what we're doing. Now, any of y'all dealing with any of this, or is it just me? All right. Whew. Yeah, bless me, Lord. I'm telling you, I'm working through it. Thank you guys for a little bit of grace. If this does happen, I don't even know what to say. I started making a joke and I got nothing. Otherwise, just please pray for me. Also, I'm on cough medication. Anyway, as we continue, let me just share with you today, as we talk about this passage of scripture, let's talk about what was said here in God's word that Paul just read. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, Paul didn't read this, but this is called the Great Commission. And you notice here, how are we supposed to be baptizing people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So here in a minute, when I'm baptizing this group of people that's going to be baptized, that's exactly how I will do it. Not because I'm clever, not because it sounds good, not because it's tradition, but because it's God's word. Amen? And so ultimately what we want to do is we want to look at God's word and we want to follow Christ in all things. And we want to be people who literally are living in a way that brings glory and honor to God, but also lives the way that he says to live, not only by his example, but also by his teaching. So let's keep moving here. And I just want to share with you the big idea from week one was the church is where you have both a family and a function. That means that ultimately you are a part of the family, but we say it around here in this way. You're not just here to receive a blessing, you're here to be one. You know, we are not just here to be blessed, but we are here to be a blessing. And so as we talk about this, you are a part of this family. We want you to be here. We want you to participate. We want you to feel that camaraderie and that closeness. I talk all the time about a beautiful church family here. The reason that you are a beautiful church family is not because every one of you is a 10, although, I mean, let's be honest, most of you are. Amen. All right. But here's what I would say, that ultimately the diversity and the sacrifice and the connection and the exalting of God above all things like race and politics and all these other things that divide everyone in our world today have all become secondary at the very top to the things that we hold dearest, which is Christ. Can I get an amen? That's what makes us a beautiful church family. And so what we want to do today is to be reminded that this isn't just simply a group of people. This is truly a body of believers, and we are truly a family. But the truth is that ultimately a family needs people in it to function according to the way that they should be functioning. And so the church is where you have both a family and a function. Can we say that on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. The church is where you have both a family and a function. So that means that not only do you belong, but you also have a blessing to give. Now, I want to share today, and the church body grows by making and growing disciples. The church body grows by making and growing disciples. And I already mentioned it, I already hit on it just for a minute, not by going and grabbing somebody from somewhere else, but by saying, you know what? Somebody who is showing an interest in being a person who's closer to God, we want to take them deeper in the scriptures. We want to take time and pour into them. We don't want to, and I'll be honest with you, I think what we have done in the past some here in this place is we've been like, good for you, keep coming, we're going to pray for you. But not really rolled up our sleeves, made the phone calls, made the point of connecting, made sure that somebody was continuing to grow. Are y'all with me? And so ultimately, when he said, you go out and you make disciples, his great commission for us was to find people that don't yet believe, but also to make disciples of those who do believe but haven't really been established in their faith. If y'all are with me, give me an amen. Okay, so what are you doing about it? Yeah, I pulled a trick on you there, didn't I? I made you say amen, and then I flipped it on you. I apologize. But ultimately, what we're supposed to be and do is that person that says, whatever he said to do, I do it. Right? We all agreed a minute ago, and then I made it personal, and then it's easy to distance ourselves. Well, you don't understand, I'm busy. Yeah, nobody else is busy, right? Aren't we all busy? And even if we're not, we'll find a way to get busy. Because ultimately, the truth of the matter is that we will make time for what is important. So what we have to do is we have to put this at the top of the list. And say, if he said it, then I really believe that that's how I've been created. Then ultimately, I will flourish and find joy when I relay and reflect the things of Christ more often in my life because that's how he made me. Now, if you think that entertainment and pleasure and possessions and all that other stuff, if y'all still think that is the key to happiness, man, y'all haven't really been paying attention, have you? Because most of us live better than we ever thought we'd live, and we're still frustrated all the time. We're still feeling empty inside. So what am I saying? I'm saying that ultimately the thing that brings us peace and the thing that brings us purpose is God and God alone. Amen? And so as we see here, we see I belong, but also I have to get up on my feet and do what God has created me to do. Like ultimately, you have been given a gift. If you know the Lord, The Bible says that you have been given a gift. So we have a family, but we also have a function. And the way that the church body grows is by making and growing disciples. Give me one more amen. Okay, so now I'm going to quit there, but I'm going to keep going on some other things. But let me just share this with you. I'm very proud. We haven't done 100% of the folks that are going to be baptized today, but almost every single one of the people that is being baptized today has been given a mentor to walk through a book of the Bible with them and been given the opportunity to say, what do you see in John chapter 1 that speaks to you? Tell me. And then they say, well, here's what speaks to me from John chapter 1. Okay, let's move on to John chapter 2. You've already read it. What do you think is important in John chapter 2? See, discipleship's not hard. It's just hard. You know? You understand what I'm saying? It's not hard to do. It's not like we can't figure it out. It's just hard to make ourselves do what we know we ought to do. Amen? And so I'm proud of the things that we're doing with our new believers, that we are growing them in the faith. But can I be honest with you? How many of you know that we're baptizing 8 people today? 8. I don't have time, nor do I connect with every single person. And by the way, my wife loves for me to talk to her on the phone, but not a bunch of other women. Who are you talking to, Ray? Well, I'm just talking to, you know, no, this is not going to work. So I need women. I need men. I need young. I need old. I need all of us to say, making a disciple is not pastor's job. It's me as a Christian's job. Because that's not what it said in the scripture that we read a moment ago. He said to all of his disciples, and if you consider yourself one, he said, now go and make disciples. As you have been given into, as you have been poured into, now go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I'm going to be with you always, even to the very end of the age. So you're never going to have to do it alone. All right. So very quickly, let's talk about this. All right. We've already been there. So let's talk about this, something to learn. In Matthew chapter 16, which Paul did read, I got that one right. Okay. Tells of Jesus foretelling the church with the capital C, the church universal, the organization. And we've talked about it. It's actually a living organism that would outlive not only Jesus' own earthly ministry, but far past the lives and ministries of the disciples, those 12 men. It would live past them as well. It would be built on their teachings and Christ's own great commission. Never forget that the church is not a building or a local club that you belong to. The church is Christ's. Read this next line with me. Family, body, building, masterpiece. And as such, we, the church, we have to strive that we actually reflect Christ rather than hurt what he can do in somebody's life. How many of you guys know somebody who said, you know what, I really am down with Christ, but I don't really like Christians? You probably know people like that. And so what is the problem? The problem is us as Christians, that we're not reflecting Christ, because ultimately Christ kept getting invited places that you would never think a pastor ought to be going to. Why? Because Christ loved people, and he loved them so much that he would not leave them where they were, but he would not just overtly judge them and push them and be harsh with them. He instead said, let me give you a place that you can go instead where you can find real peace, real purpose, and real power, right? So all of those things change for us if we allow Christ to truly live within us. Now, I said this here, and I've talked about this a couple or three different times. That masterpiece word is actually the Greek word poema, which is the word that comes from the one that we recognize as poem. You guys with me? So basically, whenever he says his masterpiece, you are like his poem to this world. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like a poem, especially on a Monday morning, right? And I might be a lot of things, but poem probably isn't making the top 10, okay? But here's what is beautiful. I don't have to be perfect. I don't always have to have it together. But I do have to constantly be tapping into the source of power and be connecting with his body, where I am a part of the family and also playing my function. That's how we change the world, beginning in our own local area. We begin by saying, I am not that important, but what I'm a part of is incredibly, eternally important. Amen? And so this is where we're at here. We are a part of the family. We are part of the body. We are part of the building. We are together God's poem to us in this world. And we are all looking for something that touches our heart, including those who don't think that God will ever touch their heart. But it's amazing when God's people start living like God's people. Then people's lives begin to change and not just their own. Amen? Okay, now, can I get a better amen on that? Okay, very good. Now, y'all are like, we're not starting over. I get it. Okay. Number one here, three things to notice in Matthew 16 as we pick this up and we close this down pretty quick. First of all, Jesus speaks of Peter's physical and his spiritual heritage. Both of them are part of his story. Here's what he says. He says in there, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." If you listen to what Paul read a moment ago, I'm just going to summarize it in the New Texas Version, okay? He basically just says to his disciples, "Hey guys, who do people say I am?" And they're like, "Well, some think you're Elijah, some think you're Jeremiah, some think you're all these other things." And Jesus says, "Okay, all right, I get it. But now who do you say I am?" And then Simon speaks up, and right off the bat, he says some powerful things. Now, I'm going to just read something from Dr. Tony Evans. He said, "Simon Peter quickly and correctly answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus affirmed this great confession of faith by praising God the Father for revealing this truth to Peter and blessing him." Now, here's what he's talking about here, what Dr. Evans is talking about, and what we see right here. That Simon Bar-Jonah, you may not ever have heard or understood what that means, but basically he's like, "You are Simon, son of John." And so here he's talking about this, and he's saying, your father and your father. Your father with the little F and your father with the capital F. So here's where I want to just take a moment and remind you that in your life, you can listen to what this world has poured into you, or you can listen to what God will bring out of you if you would be transformed by him instead of letting this world define you. So what he's saying to Peter here is he's saying, "You know what, Simon? Yeah, I know where you've come from, but what you're saying right now is from the Father above, not from your earthly father." Now, I don't know what your earthly father is like. I have an amazing earthly father. But what I really need is not to sound like Jim Puckett. I need to sound like God the Father. I love my dad. I don't think there's a man in this world that I respect more than my father. I really don't. He's an incredible guy. But I don't need to sound like him or be like him. I need to be like God the Father. I can't get it twisted and get it like mixed up, because ultimately my dad will disappoint me. And when that happens, it doesn't change the fact that I still need the Father. With the capital F. And so what is he saying here? He's saying, Simon, you are stepping away from what is natural and you're stepping towards the supernatural with this confession. And so I say to you, who do you say that Jesus is? And you may be like, well, he's a good teacher. He's the guy in the Bible. He lived a long time ago. He was a Jew who lived, you know, this many years ago. He's a historical figure, all that stuff. But if you find yourself saying, he is the one who changed my life. He is the one who saved my soul. He is the one who pulled me out of the pit that I kept jumping into willfully. Like if you start saying that stuff, I believe that Jesus is almost looking at you and saying, hey, you're blessed, Randy Puckett, son of Jim Puckett, because you know what? It's not just Jim Puckett that's speaking it. You're choosing to hear from the Father and you're seeing it through his eyes. So what you and I must choose as people who are called to not only be disciples but make disciples, is we have to see the world the way that the Father with the capital F sees it, and then we have to live accordingly, not just say, well, one of these days. Can I get an amen? All right. So very quickly, as I said, I'm going to pick it up here. Let's go on. Don't miss this. We all must decide for ourselves who you say I am. Now, the capital Y-O-U there, I put there for a reason, because the Greek word you in verse 17 is plural. It seems like he's having a conversation with Peter, and you can get it twisted around a little bit and not understand. He's asking every one of them individually, who do you say I am? And so that question still matters to every single person that's sitting in here. If your buns are in a seat right now, he wants to know, who do you say I am? And for a lot of us, we say, you're the Son of God, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. For a lot of us, we're like, yeah, I believe all those things, but I'll go you even better. You're my friend. You're my brother. You've changed my life. Now, if you don't feel that way, you can keep him at arm's length to a certain degree, but ultimately you're going to have to decide, who do you say he is? And you have to decide. And I will tell you this. I used to fear the one day that I would stand before God, and I don't fear it anymore, not because I'm perfect, not because I'm good, and not because I haven't sinned and got a lot of problems and even issues I'm still working through. But I don't fear it because I know my Savior lives. And I know that he forgives me, not because of my goodness, but because of his own. And so who do I say he is? I say he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I say he's also my friend and my Savior, and he's my only hope. Can I get an amen? All right, so very quickly. Secondly, Jesus speaks of the church, capital C, being made up of part of a greater whole, not a single great person. You see that? You and I make the church great. We don't find a superstar, rock star person and follow them. We say, I'm going to follow the only rock star worth following. And then I'm going to let him shine in my life and through my life. If we'll do that, the church will start being the church. And by the way, most of the time when we're hurt by what happens in other parts of the church, it's because we elevated somebody further than we should have and put them on a pedestal that they didn't deserve, and they had some things in their heart and life that were broken, and they couldn't ever actually just say, you know what, I'm still broken. They had to be something that they were not able to keep up. I didn't think I'd get an amen, but you can think about it. You can think about it, because it's true. Because ultimately, we are human. Every single one of us, every single one of us need the Lord. Now, very quickly, in Greek, Peter's name is Petros, meaning a stone. When Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, he used the Greek word Petra or Petros, which was a collection of rocks knitted together to form a larger slab. You see where I'm going with this? It's all of us, not one of us. It is every one of us being the church with the capital C that God wants. And so Jesus' church then would be comprised of his unified followers who confess him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, just like Peter did. That's what we're looking for. So that pulls you and I off the sidelines instead of where we can feel a little bit more comfortable. He's pulling us into some discomfort, but he's pulling us into something called purpose and power and pleasure and all of those things that we're all looking for. Third thing to notice real quickly in Matthew 16, Jesus reveals that the church may lose some battles, but never forget that the war is already won. I hope I get an amen. Okay, so let me just share this with you, and I'm just about done, okay? No matter how much Satan attacks, the church will win and hell will lose. The offensive advance of the church exercising kingdom authority overrides hell's attempts to stop it. But how is Jesus going to accomplish this building program? He said, on this rock I will build my church, and he used all of these different analogies, but let me just share this one with you. The church is referred to as an assembly or gathering of people. It's almost legal in its terminology. The church is like an embassy. The U.S. embassies around the world have people working in them, and an embassy is living out the values and the laws of the United States, even in a foreign country. Y'all see where I'm going? Each embassy, then, is a little piece of America a long way from home. And in a similar way, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to adopt the agenda of their heavenly King and enact it here on earth. Christ's church is a little bit of heaven a long way from home, designed, and I would say as well, able to withstand the authority of hell itself. We win, but we also need to stay in the battle. And so I share with you today, the thing that God would have you to do is to answer this question: whom do men say I am? And if you admit that he is the Son of God, I would submit to you as well, then if he truly is that, do you live like it? Because ultimately, a lot of us want to say it, but we don't want to live like it. And so we have to say, all right, this is what I believe, and it should show up in my everyday life. All right, very quickly, I'm just going to keep moving here. Here's the big questions. Is the church where you come to be blessed, and is it also where you come to be a blessing? And then I want to ask you, what would the church be if every member acted as you do towards the church? And how would the church be if you would treat Christ himself as you treat his church? You see, because a lot of us would never distance ourselves from Christ the way that we do sometimes from the church. And so I think we just need to pull in and say, you know what? I want the capital C church to be blessed because I'm a part of it. I'm a part of this body. I'm a part of this building. I'm a part of this masterpiece that God is weaving to righteously save the world, if at all possible. And it is, because we already know we have won. Very quickly, how do you apply this? Family, consistently come to be blessed, but also come to be a blessing. And then that function, build up the family by sharing your faith with those on the inside. That's discipleship. And then also those outside the family, that's sharing your faith. We got to do both, and we are a part of the family, but we also have to function in that way. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. Today we worship you and glorify you, and we bring just a special thing before you today. And that special thing is 8 lives that have been touched, not by one person, not even by 2 or 3, but in a moment, Lord, we're going to be talking about the stories of the people that have been blessings in the lives of these who follow you in baptism today, whose lives have been changed, not because of one person, but because of many being faithful, obedient, consistent, and saying, you know what? There's nothing in the world that is more important that I could give my life to than being a blessing in Jesus' name. And so I pray that you would call us off the sidelines and into the fight. I pray that you would help us to be the church, not just go to one, but be the church. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to have eyes to see, because the needs are all around. And help us to be brave enough to step forward and say, I may not have all the answers, but I want to be part of the solution instead of just complaining about how the world is going. Help us, Lord, to be a place here in this place, but as a church that brings glory, honor, and praise to you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, very quickly, I'm closing this down, and I'm not going to take but about maybe 20 seconds here, okay? I'm not here to guilt you. I'm not here to manipulate you. But if you could bow your heads and you just close your eyes for a quick moment, I want to know if the Lord is speaking to you, and you know that you're not a part of the family the way you should be, and that you're not functioning the way that you should as well. So what I'm asking you to do is not for me. I'm not going to come to you and talk to you about this. I'm not going to seek you out. I'm not going to in any way try to guilt you. But, you know, I have a feeling that some of you do believe that the Lord is speaking to you. You've already answered that question of who do you say I am? And now the question is, will I live it? So if you know that the Lord is speaking to you and you know that he's calling you to more and greater and deeper, and you just want to simply lift your hand, nobody's looking around. This is between you and the Lord. Again, I say, I'm not going to be manipulative. God bless you. And you, thank you so much. Anyone else here today, God bless you. Thank you so much. Anyone else here, God bless you. Thank you so much. Anyone else, may God bless you as well. Anyone else this morning? Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, bless each person that's here. Bless these hands. Bless their lives, I pray. And may you be glorified in every way. May we be the church as we ought to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a look at that video on baptism if you don't mind.
Water. It cleanses, it renews, it gives life. But in baptism, water means something more. Throughout Scripture, God uses water to mark new beginnings. The flood cleansed the earth. The Red Sea opened the way to freedom. And in Christ, the waters of baptism represent new life. Baptism is about identification. It's the outward sign of an inward grace, a declaration that we've died to sin and risen with Christ. A symbol that our past has been washed away by his mercy. Baptism is a public confession of a private surrender. A testimony that says, I belong to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. All right, so what I'm going to do is, especially on these first couple, I'm going to include these two as one, because where you have one, you have the other. These two girls are inseparable, joined at the hip, and in so many ways, like, if you see one, you see the other, you know, as you interact with them. I'm so honored to baptize these beautiful girls. So who is first? It is going to be Destiny. So Destiny, if you don't mind, come on forward. Destiny Baptiste, come on forward here, sweetie. Take your time here. Okay, there we go. Is it still warm? Okay, all right, good deal, good deal. Okay, so I do not want to make this about me, but man, I feel old today because these girls, when they first came, they were so young. They have been in our youth group. They've been in this church. Probably a number of you have taught them when they were growing up. I know that a number of you, including Eric and many others, Miss Laura as well, Kendall as well, have taken them to camp and been a part of their spiritual journey in this way. And I just am excited because ultimately on days like today, we're reminded of why we do what we do. There are difficult days that kind of come our way, but sometimes it's easy in the difficult days to forget, or even in the day after day after day, that what we're doing is making a difference and adding up. I'm so grateful for Destiny and Mia both. Lord has always just blessed them, been a blessing. I know RJ, I know Marie. It is a blessing to be able to baptize your kids. Thank you so much for being a part of our church body and church family. Y'all mean the world to me. I've already married one of them, so maybe I'm calling dibs. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. But praise the Lord for all of the people that took time to pour into both Destiny and Mia and in their life. And they've come to know the Lord. They want to be baptized. You guys are both seniors this year, and we are excited about this. And we know that life is about to change for them. Pray for them. Pray that the Lord would keep them safe as they go, and that he would keep them close to him in everything that they encounter. Was that? Yes. No, I don't. She said, you messed up. I may have, I don't know. But I was saying that they already graduated and they're heading off to college. Okay. Did I get it wrong? Did I say it right? All right, whatever. Anyway, you know. Now you know. God bless you guys. We love y'all. We love you. We're so proud of y'all. Upon her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Destiny Baptiste, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. All right, Mia, I could say all those same things, but I won't, all right? But yes, I'm going to hold your hand as you come up this way as well. She's like, I don't need these flip-flops. Come on up here. Be careful, you're okay. All right, you can sit. There we go. all of those things that I just said, like I said, go for both of these girls, but what a blessing it is today to be able to baptize Mia. Upon her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this my sister, Mia Baptiste, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. Amen. Miss Bailey, the screen says you're next. I just want to say what a blessing it has been for Mia to, for Bailey to be a part of the things that are going on in our church. She has been going to camp with us. We were trying to figure out the other day, maybe 4, maybe 5 years. And time after time after time, she has been there and been a part of that and accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior there at camp. And so we give praise and glory to the Lord. Amen. And Bailey is just the sweetest. I'm telling you, she's such a sweet young lady and so kind, and I can see the love of Christ in her, and I'm very proud of her. I know that she's also very connected to Hannah as well, and you guys are buddies from way back. And we're just so glad that Hannah invited you to come and be a part of things, because we just kind of want you here all the time, and it's just a blessing. All right. You've gone all the way through the book of John already with Miss Kim, right? Okay, absolutely. And so we're just excited of what the Lord has begun and what he will continue to do in Bailey's life. Upon her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Bailey Lamb, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Okay, here we go. Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. All right. Okay, I believe that Matt is next. Is that right? Is it Matt Samia? All right, buddy. Matt, I'm going to hold your hand as well, buddy. Now, you know, it's always a little interesting. You guys probably don't realize this, so I'm probably dropping something on you that you did not know. But I have a couple of pictures of Matt when he was very, very young. Now, that's our shelter from Hurricane Harvey in 2017. The first time that we ever met my guy Tim and my guy Matt and their family, we sectioned off the little squares in here, and everybody got, you know, 4 squares for their whole family. And I'm telling you, like, I could tell you the story of that. And you notice, if you back up one slide there, you see the pizza. Everybody that was here said, they called it the Chateau des Eagle Heights, because it was, like, awesome. And literally, I had people telling me, like, how come we went to a shelter and gained weight? What's up with that? And I'm like, I don't know. But, man, how old were you in that picture? 5 years old. That's probably about right, probably 5. And the Samias are a part of our church. Michael, you look different because you got a new kidney between then and now. And God is moving in y'all's family. And we're just honored to be a part of that. There is my beautiful wife there with the family. That's you as well. And then there's me. I think that might be you, Tim, that's like standing. And I don't even know that guy because he doesn't have white hair anymore back then. But can we never forget that whatever we do in the name of the Lord, it never returns void. It never returns void. It always pays eternal dividends. Matt went to camp this year. Was today, or was this year your first year? This is the first year that he went, gave his heart to the Lord. We glorify the Lord for what he's doing, not only in that camp, but in our church youth group. And can I just remind you, I don't go. Shelly doesn't go. Volunteers go, and they go and participate in that. Eric, you've been going for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, giving up a week of vacation so he can go and be there because it just matters for eternity. Can I get an amen? And I'm proud of you, man, because like I'm going through the book of Luke with you. We're not all the way done, but I'm already seeing that God is speaking to you. You're a smart young man. You got a heart for the Lord, and I'm excited about what he's doing in your life. Upon his profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his belief in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my brother, Matthew Samia, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Here we go. Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. All right. Okay, thank you. There you are. I think it's Tatiana next. One of the real pleasures of being a part of the Foundations group is getting to know some of the young people a little bit better. And I've gotten an opportunity to get to know Tatiana a little bit better. If you don't know, she is dating Chris, and y'all have been dating for a little while. But I do want to just share with you, I believe with all of my heart, that ultimately this is not one of those things that's been done for Chris. It's been done for Christ. And there's a big difference. I see how she is changing, and I see how she is developing and growing. I see the steps that she's making in her own life. And I want to shout out Chris, because ultimately, there are a lot of people that date others and never share their faith, but that's not what's been happening here. He's been encouraging her to come and be a part of the church services, been a part of like joining the family of God. And so I'm very proud of you, Chris. Love you, buddy. And Tatiana, just proud of what God is doing in your life. You're a sweet spirit. I love you. God bless you guys. And it's an honor to be able to baptize you. On her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Tatiana Benitez, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ready? Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. Said this is a good way for me to feel old. I'm telling you, I think I've known Corbin every moment of his life. And my wife used to just think he was like the cutest little kid. I was like, can you give me half of that attention? I mean, please, you know. And it's amazing to watch somebody grow up from a young kid and become a young man and to see that God is at work in Corbin's life. And I have so much appreciation for the Teague family. They're an incredible blessing to me, and I hope that you guys have not ever forgotten they're an incredible blessing to this church, and that God is just working in their life and in their family in amazing ways. And it's no surprise that we find ourselves here with Corbin, because his parents have made God a part of their family life. They've raised him to know the Lord and to give his heart to the Lord, and that's exactly what he's done. I know that this past year camp was especially important, and it's just a blessing. And Corbin actually treats me like I'm okay. You know, like, I mean, you know how it is with teenagers. You're like, none of them like me. None of them really like me. But if they just treat me like I'm okay, then that's good. He's absolutely a blessing. He's a good kid. We had an opportunity to go down to Mexico together this past January to deliver some things. And watching him work with the young people and connect with them, even though there was a language barrier, it was absolutely special. Corbin's a young man that I appreciate so much. On his profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his belief in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my brother, Corbin Teague, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Here we go. Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. God bless you. Okay. You know, I let a couple of these people get away without a hug post-baptism, and I'm hurting. That hurts me a little bit, you know? All right, who's going first out of you guys? Aria, come on up, sweetie. All right. So what we found is that most of the time, we have to find somebody who says to me, I'd like to be baptized. They're the first one. And when I say, okay, we get a date, and then we start mentioning it to others, and others come along. Aria is the first one who asked about being baptized today. In a minute, I'm going to baptize her mama along with her as well. And you know, there's a passage of scripture that says, and a little child shall lead them all, right? And sometimes we're reminded that God is at work no matter our age. And that ultimately, I've had an opportunity to get to know Aria just a little bit more. She's gone through a book that was all about baptism. I know that she cares about the Lord. I know that it matters to her. I know that she has been seeking the Lord and how to know him better. And so I'm incredibly honored to baptize Aria today. And your smile is just the best as well, you know. On her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Aria Smith, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Okay, here we go. Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. Simona, I would not recommend you move that fast, okay? Let's just go a little slower. Simona's family, along with Larry, their son, Aria as well. We're just incredibly grateful that God has not only led you guys here, but given you a heart for here. And I know that you were baptized earlier on in your life, but I know that God has been doing some things in you that call you to be rebaptized and make a new commitment, a deeper commitment. I'm incredibly appreciative as well because Simona is my favorite kind of girl. She's what I call a get-it-done girl. Everything that's been going on with the yard sale, everything that's been going on with a lot of things with Christmas in July, I've just kind of mentioned it to her and she's gotten it done. She's a get it done girl and I love that. But her heart for the Lord is the thing that shines through. Like, I'm not, you know, talking about somebody with a terrible attitude who's trying to do what the Lord, you know, what the pastor's asking. She's got a great attitude and trying to do it in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And that's life-changing, right? And I know that God is working in you, and I'm just so grateful that we get a front row seat to what God is up to. We love you guys. Y'all are special, wonderful people. We love you. on her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Simona Smith, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ready? There we go. Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. No, you're okay. She said she's sorry for crying. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Let's sing this as we bring this service to a close. Hasn't it been good to be in God's house this morning? Amen. Can I get an amen? Can I get a big old hand clap, you guys? Woo! It's been good. Let's sing this song together as we close.